Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to the Universal Awareness Radio Show. My name's Linda Jocelyn, and I'm your host for today's show. I just want to give another shout out for Miss Magical McGear there, who allows us to download this music for free. And if anybody wants to check out the other music that she has a Facebook page, which is, I believe it is just labeled Miss Magical McGear, but you could also Google her, and there's a lot of great music available of hers, and the sort of unique technique she has of taking people's words when she does a live show and uses those words in new songs that she invents in the moment. So that's a great way of being, well, using your inspiration and inspiring others, actually. Tonight I'm going to actually talk a little bit more about what I started to talk about last Tuesday in the show. It just came up because of a question in the chat room about, well, don't you think anybody has healed their shadow even on this planet somewhere? Or do I think that everybody has a shadow to heal? And I said I really couldn't answer that question. I can only talk about myself, and I wouldn't say that I'm never going to get stuff come up, because I know it to be untrue if I say that, that there is always more and more to learn if we're alive on this planet. And I was using the example there of a man I met, a master, who taught me how to get in touch with the inner me and to find the real peace inside myself. And I've been asked questions about this and had correspondence with people. So I'm going to talk in a few moments about more about that and my experience with that and how it all came about and what he is really about. Because he certainly isn't about being worshipped or just people listening to what he says. That's not what he's about. And I want to get very clear with the message that he's come to give to people. But first of all, I realized that I'd forgotten to tell you a pretty incredible thing that happened to me when I was on distilled water. I still am drinking all distilled water, although since actually talking to Dave Murphy, who went on the 30-day fast from all food and just drank his urine, I've actually started, that was it's got to be a month or so ago now, I also started drinking the distilled water that is made in my own system within the urine as well. But the incredible thing, we've seen lots and lots of people and heard about lots and lots of people who've had incredible experiences with distilled water, which is dew, rainfall, distilled water that you make yourself, or urine. And you see amazing health benefits. And Dave's testimonials were incredible about what happened to him. But I actually forgot to mention that after I'd gone on the distilled water and before I went on to the urine therapy, I had I went to get, I used glasses for reading. And I went to the opticians, and there they always check the pressure in your eye. And on this occasion, first occasion ever, the pressure in my eye was actually up a lot, and he kept checking it, and it was still up. So I was sent to an eye hospital, and because my mother has glaucoma, they were a little bit concerned, and they actually gave me the usual thing that they do, which is not think about how we can cure it, but let's put something in there that might stop it. So they gave me drops, which immediately, because I've lived, I suppose, on natural cures for decades, these certainly started to give me side effects. So I stopped. And I went back to the clinic and at the hospital and talked to the guy there and said that I did know that you could have laser surgery for this rather than take... just have drops put in your eyes, which are all made with different chemicals and all sorts of stuff like that. So he agreed. And the appointment was made for me to go back, which was some time hence. And I had already started drinking distilled water before I even went for that second appointment. And I said to him, what I'm going to do now is carry on drinking the distilled water and only distilled water to bring my own body back in balance and see if I can clear the channels. Because it's channels, tiny little channels that get blocked that cause the pressure in your eye. And I only had one eye this was happening to. He said, okay, he just smiled and actually made the appointment for me to have the laser surgery. When I actually went for the laser surgery, they have to recheck just to see how bad your pressure is because they expect the pressure will have got worse. It may have stayed the same, but in most cases, I think it gets worse as time goes on. And they did all the tests, and my eyes were perfect. So it already totally corrected itself. So I just walked out of this hospital not having any treatment at all. And the guy just said to me, well, actually, the woman doctor said to me, we'll just have you back, in a year to check that it's still staying on the right track. Now, that's the incredible things that can happen to you when you make sure that the component that you are, the element that you are in the majority in your body is water, over 80% as far as I know. And that's why, you know, when you're cremated, you just get a pile of ashes because everything else dries out and it is just water or space between the atoms and the cells, you know. That's how it's described, isn't it? We're just energy, really. We're just energy all puffed up in here. Puffed up in the spaces is the energy. And the rest of it is water, water-based. And if you put absolutely pure water, that because it's pure, see, there's part of this which I knew years ago, and I now know why I knew it. And I channeled the information before I ever saw it in the public arena. And this was that water had a memory. It was in my first book, actually. And not only did it change my water habits right off, in that I just couldn't drink tap water with all the chemicals, but it made me realize a lot of things about water and how special it was, how sacred it was, and that we're made up of that element and that it is our communication. So when you're putting water in your body, because water has a memory, if it's absolutely pure, then what it does is it takes out of your body, it will take on the memory of anything in your body that's impure and actually take it out of your, you know, start to remove it. And the pureness will fill your body and your cells and be what you're made up of. So the distilled water for me actually cured a problem which could have deteriorated into all sorts, especially since my mother had glaucoma as well. They were concerned. I wasn't concerned about that because I knew I was going to go the route of healing it. And at the moment, all absolutely clear. And that's the only thing I did. I didn't. There were various herbs which I could have started taking, but I didn't. I wanted to look at what that distilled water was capable of. So I would recommend anybody starts to go on to that. Dave had amazing stories, not just physical, but of friends who were deeply depressed and been on lots of medication and who just came off the lot, because it changes your state of being and mind and your connection. And that's what I notice that every time, you know, especially the urine, because it's so personal, you've made it in your body. And it's an incredible booster. It boosts you every time you drink it. And just have a go. I mean, I've got friends who are involved in all the natural world and the natural things, and they're still not drinking their urine because they feel that they're still holding on to the stories they were told and the impression that was made in their minds about your urine, which really is not your waste products. It's the extra stuff that comes out of your blood that your blood doesn't need, but it's already been absolutely everything in your urine has been purified totally in, you know, before it even goes in the bloodstream. So all the toxins in your body, if you're still under this myth, actually come out in the excreta, in the solid stuff. None of the toxins come out in the urine. The good stuff that you got too much of during that day or during that hour will come out in your urine, and that's why it's such a shame to flush it. Because it's got all that incredible stuff. Like if you've got too much of this or that in your blood, it will come out in your urine. And if you drink it back in, you're self-regulating. And this is why Dave Murphy got on so well, doing the whole cyclic thing of drinking only the water that he made in his body. He never added anything to it, never added any other liquid to his body, which is incredible, isn't it? And just shows you that if you ever get stuck in any situation with no water, then just start drinking it. Just get over yourself about it's coming out of your body. We live in an incredible organism of this body, organic, what is it, an organic vehicle that is an incredible design, and that's part of that design. But I just really wanted to, before I forget it for all time, just talk about the fact that I went to the hospital, booked in for laser treatment and was cancelled. And the only thing I'd done was drunk distilled water for about, then I think I drank it for about 2 months when that happened. That was all. And I'm really not drinking the incredible high amount that Andrew Morton Weber, who's got great stuff on his website and on his Facebook page, etc. I wasn't up to the amount. I think he was talking about 5 litres of distilled water a day to really cleanse your body. And I've never really got up to that amount, but you still get incredible healing. The other thing that caught my eye before I go on to the more, the deeper, more spiritually aligned stuff is a photograph I saw today that I put on Facebook and posted around like others had. And it was a great picture of a policewoman interviewing 8 possible suspects or something. And he was asking her the questions that you need to know to ask, you know, because what's happening is the law as it stood, and our common law as sovereign people, all equal on this planet, has been hijacked by the legal system. And everybody should know this. And if you go along with it, you're going along with a complete false control that they have over you. And non-compliance is the way. Non-compliance to the wrong sort of control. You give up your power every time you comply to something that, if you looked into it and you didn't, you know, you don't ignore the truth, then what you're actually going to see is that you know, it's a complete false system that's been laid upon us over the decades. And the questions that were being asked by the person was, are you a public servant? This is to the policewoman. Are you a public servant? This really, you know, helps to get them back in the now moment and into the truth. Where is the victim of this alleged crime? I mean, this is somebody who might have been stopped as a possible suspect for nothing, or just because he looked the wrong way to them, or just because he'd parked his car, or he whatever. It's something to do with his vehicle. You know, they wanted to check whether he had all the paperwork. That's not a crime. Third question, is there an injured party? I mean, if you were going to comply with law, with common law, there has to be an alleged crime and there has to be an injured party. And they are, the truth of it is, they are public servants paid for out of the tax system to protect us, not protect these elite people who sit on, you know, judgment boards over us. Fourth question, am I obliged to answer your questions? Are your statutes and acts superior to my rights? Sixth question, what right do you have to tell me what I can't do? And at the bottom of this posting was, the master asks the questions. And what I would say to that is, be master of yourself, you know. And it's such a simple little one. If you want to repeat that and take it off and post it on your own sites, if you go to my Facebook page, which is just linda.jocelyn, capital L, capital J, on Facebook, because it's a brilliant one and it's so true. I mean, I have gone down the route of researching and gone down the rabbit hole of the Freeman Sovereign Movement. And I've done various things myself in court that have turned completely differently when people have been trying to do something to me that they shouldn't have been doing. And that was before I learned about the Freeman Movement. That all came from my heart. It was because I decided to speak from my heart that I said the right thing in court. I'm not going to go over it again. It's in at least two or three of the archives from the last 2.5 years shows when I've been inspired to talk about it. So it is there. Now, what I'm going to, I talked about I call him Maharaji, but the name is spelt because one of the people who did correspond with me actually thought I was talking about Maharishi. Now, if we're talking about masters, this is coming over from the last week's show, and I said I would talk more about this because I've been asked different questions about it. Maharishi was the man who came into popularity in the West when the Beatles found him in India or were sent to India to see him. And he's the man, incredible man, who brought out the simple transcendental meditation technique. That is in itself, this isn't the man I'm going to talk about for quite a while, but this man I do know of the meditation that he talks of and that he gives to people, and that is an incredible technique. I actually did TM, it's called Transcendental Meditation, for 3 years before I was introduced to another master, which was Maharaji. But a lot of people get confused and think they're the same person. They're not at all, and it is different what they teach. It's both wonderful. In the beginning, I was looking, you know, I had to think back today, and I was thinking, where did it start for me? Because what I wanted was peace inside, and I also knew that the world in its 3D state wasn't all there was. I always knew that. I mean, I think as a child I knew that, and so it was never enough for me. I was a very deep thinker. I wasn't well educated. I left school at 15 and a half. And I really didn't go the education route because it wasn't thought of as a good thing in our family, really. Nobody had ever done it. And the only thing that when I was leaving school, I was quite bright at school, and went to the high school and could have gone on from there, but my father wanted me to leave at a certain time. And they really would not have supported me in further education. I needed to go to work to keep myself. And that's, in fact, what I did. So the story about how it happened to me really was that, you know, all through my life, all through right up until, you know, I traveled. I had some incredible adventures. And had a partner, and we had our two children, and actually I think by the time I had the second child, I think I'd already received the meditation technique of TM, which is very simple, because, you know, and anybody can do this with possibly without going to the TM centers, is that you can receive the meditation technique of a mantra, and what Maharishi did was he gave you a particular mantra. I think there was it's allegedly there were only about half a dozen, and what the initiators, because it didn't come straight from Maharishi, there were middlemen, and these initiators that were trained to give you the mantra and to choose the mantra for you would choose the particular mantra after they'd met you. And it was a very quick meeting. It would probably only be 15 minutes or something. And you also had to pay for this. And the amount that you had to pay at the time I was involved, which is about 35 years ago, was a week's wages. So if you were working, you had a week's wages that you paid. And you'd go along and you'd be given the mantra, and then you would just be, you'd go away and you would do what you were asked to do. If you were sensible, you would, having given it, you would do 20 minutes morning and 20 minutes in the evening of transcendental meditation, which was just to put your attention on a mantra. Now, you know that I've taught many, you know, and spoken many times about meditation and what it does, and that it's going to calm down the manos mad mind that talks to people and can be their saboteur in many different ways on different occasions. And to many people, it's the saboteur from peace at any point, is having this voice in your head that you may think is you and which isn't. And by doing, you know, by leading and mastering the control of your mind, and the way you do this is to have a mantra. And so you say the mantras silently, not out loud, but to yourself over and over. And when your mind goes off that mantra, you just go back on the mantra, okay? So I did this for 3 years, but I knew there was something else as well. Excuse me. I knew there was something more than that. So what I actually did was, I was still, you know, after I, because I was looking for peace, it gave me peace of mind. There was no doubt. It changed my life in that way. Okay, where I felt at peace with myself, but I still knew there was something more to find. That's all I can say, because I did it probably 2 or 3 years. I really can't remember now. But I was a very good student of TM meditation. I actually did it. And what happened after that was I still had a thirst for something else, that I knew there was another quality of something else as well as that. So my personal journey was that it was still open to an adventure that went deeper than that, and that there was more. For me personally. And I had an intention that, obviously, in my sense of being, that I would find this, and you know, it was incredible how it happened, because I knew various people in the area. I had at least one child by this time. I think two children by this time, and actually three, because I remember taking my baby with me, so which was the third child. But what actually happened was people appeared. I didn't go anywhere. They were just friends of friends of friends that you meet, you know, when you're socializing, and people coming to the house. We always had an open house, lots of people around. And somebody talked to me. Somebody started talking to me. Now, this is going to give you an idea of what Maharaji is here for, what he really does, and about his energy, if you like, and what he imparts to other people, right? And what he gives you to do for yourself. Because in the beginning, Maharaji was mentioned, but he wasn't the thing that pulled me into wanting to go further than this. Because what actually happened, and I don't know how they do this now, but I can only tell you what happened to me. I was talking to somebody who was telling me about this house that he went to. There was this house a few miles away. And he said, we have evenings, and it's called satsang. And I thought, oh, goodness, what is satsang? And he said to me, well, he said, it's difficult to explain what satsang is. He said, but we all come together, and those people, there's people there who've received knowledge. And what they do is, if they feel like it, they will just sit on a particular chair so that everybody knew what was going on, that they would sit in this chair. And then when they felt like they wanted to speak, these were the people who had the knowledge. And I said, well, where does this knowledge come from? What knowledge? I was really into knowledge. I was really into reading and finding out things. And he said, no, it's a little bit different to that. He said, it is knowledge. It's called knowledge, but it's knowledge of something quite different. It's something about you. And I was so intrigued. I mean, this went further and deeper than anything anybody had spoken to me about. But it wasn't just that. It was how he spoke to me about it. There was an energy about it as he spoke. And he was just this young man that I knew, a local guy. He was an artist. Actually, he worked as a cleaner for me for a while to make a bit of extra money, because I was bringing up three children, and I also had a business that I ran, a natural food business. And you know, it was really interesting because I was so intrigued. I had my partner look after the children, and I went off to one of these nights where you just go to this house, this normal house. And when I got to the house, there was a lovely feel. Even walking in the door, there was something magical about it, something amazing about it. And I didn't know at the time what that was, but when I went in, we you know, there was a little bit of talk, and then everybody quietened down and just sitting in somebody's front room. Very simple, nothing to do with anything, except we were sitting together, a group of maybe seven or eight people, in somebody's front room, and this was all I knew was this was called satsang. And what happened was one by one, those people in the room, there was maybe five out of the seven, if there were seven there would have been two, me and one other, who did not have this knowledge. And then there would be seven maybe who did. And one by one, they just began to talk. Not about anything in particular, but they were talking from a particular place inside them. And this was what satsang was. And I mean, if you look the word satsang up, which I probably did at the time, I think it means in the truth. The truth, coming from the truth, speaking from the truth. And this was what was happening in the room. And it was mesmerizing. It was no evening like I'd ever had before. This was just people who spoke when they felt like, and then, you know, when that person had finished, and there was such a stillness in the room, there was such an energy in the room, and there was such peace. And what happened at that time was, when I left that evening, I just felt incredibly at ease with myself, and knowing that I was going back. If there was one thing I knew, was that I had to go back. And at the time, what happened was I went back three or four times, and then I said to the guy who took me there, who introduced me, you know, I really want this knowledge. How can I get this knowledge? And nobody ever told you what the knowledge was. There was no. They just spoke about this knowledge and what it had done for them, or they might talk about how they felt that day or whatever. But they had something that I didn't know. And this is, you know, if you want to talk about a secret, this is the incredible thing. This is going back 30-odd years ago. And I was not only was I intrigued But it was opening me up in a way that nothing ever had. And I was already a meditator of the TM, Maharishi techniques. But this was giving me a thirst to know, and to know something that was so sacred, and to be able to come from that point and to speak from that point myself. And I could see that they were all so gently happy. They weren't sensationally happy. They didn't have to do anything amazing out there in that world to be blissed. And that's the first time I'd ever felt that anybody that I was in contact with was blissed out. And they were talking and being blissed out. So after 3 or 4 sessions of this, and it was always the same, and I always wanted more. I always wanted to go back, and I wanted to be able to go back twice a week, 3 times a week, because that thirst in me for this sense of being and of being able to come from that point of total truth with inside yourself was just there for me now, and I was thirsting after it. And when I spoke to him after about 3 or 4 times, I said, "What can I do?" And I do. He said, "You just have to keep going to satsang." And he said, "There's other places where more people gather, and I can introduce you to that as well. But come to more satsang." So I went to more, and over a period of time, I went to bigger places, like bigger towns, where there were more people there. And it was always the same for me. I never felt anything other than total peace and total bliss. And always the same format, that somebody would sit in a particular chair that was placed in the room, and then they would just come from that place inside themselves that I wanted to come from. I wanted to be able to be in touch with that part of myself. And eventually, I think, it was kind of like maybe a couple of months. You know, they brought more of Miraji into it, because up until this point there was not I knew they would talk about Miraji, and they might talk about their experiences when they themselves were given knowledge, and when they met Miraji they would talk about various things, and then they started showing videos of Miraji. They were like DVDs, I remember, in the old days, or they wouldn't have been. They would have been trying to think what they would have been. Maybe they were audio. I can't even remember now. But we would hear his voice. We would see a film. They would have a projector or something like that, and they would show a film of Miraji. And then you would hear this man, and he was coming from that place. And it was all so simple. There was no big philosophy. There was nothing metaphysic about it. There was just some incredible peace that emanated from this man, as did it did emanate from all the other people who had the knowledge. And he was the giver of this originally, and he was the one that gave the knowledge to the initiators, and then they went out and they were the people who gave it to other people. And this went on for months, and in the end, what it's doing, it's quite incredible, because you say to yourself, well, they could give it to you right away, couldn't they? Because they know the answer. They know what they're talking about. They know the secret. They know what this knowledge is. And often I used to say, why not now? I would ask, and I would be told by this person who introduced me, I would be told, ask the person at the next meeting that we go to, at the next group that we go to. And I would ask, and I would say, please let me have this knowledge. I feel like I'm ready to receive this knowledge. And they would say, a little longer, Linda. Wait a little longer. And I waited. There was no way I was going to stop going. And I had a daughter. I'm trying to think. She was a babe in arms, and I was breastfeeding her. So I used to take her to these events. And I also, when she got to sit up at 5 months, I used to sit her up, and she used to watch the videos of Miraji, and she used to just sit there, a 5-month-old baby, and watch. You know, that was amazing to see as well, because there was something inside of her that related to it as well. Anyway, time went on, and it was about 7 or 8 months, and by this time, I mean, when I went to say to them, please let me have this knowledge, I was in tears. You know, and I remember being at home thinking, I have to tell them, I have to ring London, I have to say that I need this knowledge now. And by that time, they, you know, what happens is you surrender. And this is why it was done in that way. I have no idea right now what the process is to get this knowledge now. It'll be the same process. It'll be the same process of ask, going to and listening and hearing what other people who have this knowledge say, and then at some point listening certainly to Miraji and what he has to say, and then to ask, to go and ask for this knowledge. And it may be quick, it may be long. Over the years, because this is going back 30 years, over the years, he's changed how it was given according to what was happening in the world with the people, what the vibration in the world was. So then it was 7 or 8 months it took for me. And when, as I say, that last time when I was at home thinking I have to ring London, they have to know now that I'm ready. And they said, yes, come. Come and organize it where and when you're going to receive this knowledge. And the amazing thing for me is that normally you would go to one of the larger towns, an initiator would be there with all the people that were ready at that time, and there might be 2 or 3, maybe 4 or 5 max, usually, with an initiator, and you would be given the knowledge, okay? But in this case, I was a nurse, a mother, nursing a child. I had another person that I knew who was going to these events as well and going to satsang and wanted the knowledge. She was also a mother nursing a child. And there was another, I'm trying to think, I think there were 2 more women. And we all lived in the same area. And so the initiator took this into account, and he said, I mean, I can't believe this happened, but you know, you draw the most amazing dreams to yourself if you can dream big enough, they say. And I know this to be true, because what happened for us, it was always given in just a room, you know, an appropriate room in an office that they might have rented for a while, or it might be, I imagine, you know, in somebody's house in London where it was appropriate to have that, you know, 4 or 5 people. But what happened to us is one of these girls, the other girl that was nursing her child, she lived in the woods. She lived in the middle of the Bluebell Woods in an incredibly well-known area in Suffolk called Arga Fen, filled with bluebells. And she was lived in the little house in the middle of the woods, which was incredible. I mean, I used to go over there with my children quite a lot. I actually bought her house before she moved to that one. She had this other house with a lovely garden and goats in the house and in the garden, sorry, that she used to milk. And I bought the house with the goat off her with my partner, to bring my children up in, and then kept in touch with her. And she went to move to the Bluebell Woods. While the initiator said, yes, we will initiate you all together, and you can, where would you like to be initiated? And we, you know, the girl said, well, my house is available. And we were actually initiated in the house in the Bluebell Woods, which will live with me forever. And what it, you know, so when people start thinking, let's follow this guru, or let's think about what, you know, what this guru says, it's true that he's telling you, you know, because this is what I wanted to get straight about a Miraji. Is Miraji is giving you, he is giving you an idea of what he can do for you and what the ultimate gift from him is. And the ultimate gift is not just to listen to him speak. The ultimate gift is is actually the techniques of knowledge, and there are 4 of them. So what is imparted to you over a long period? I mean, when we went into these woods, I had to get somebody to look after my baby and my other children, and we were there for 7 hours, I believe it was. And what you do is you have an intense session of being shown the 4 techniques. Now, you are also told not to divulge these techniques to other people, because they need to go along the path where they thirst for this knowledge, and the knowledge is then given to them. Now, over the 30 years, ago from when I received these techniques, I always thought that maybe there'd come a time where Maharaji would say, do you know what, we're just going to give it out now. But that has never happened. He is the master. He knows how this needs to be given. And he knows when people are ready to receive these techniques. And, you know, all the time that I was thirsting for this knowledge, you do have ideas that go through your head as to what it's going to be. And then when you get in this room and you're shown how to see your vibration, how to hear your vibration, how to feel your vibration, and how to taste your vibration, you smile, you even laugh as you're shown it. And you're shown it each one separately and you practice each technique for around about an hour. And you have an incredibly intense 6 or 7 hours of this, experiencing yourself, turning the key for yourself to the person, to the soul, the essence of who you really are. And so that's what he gives. It's not just that he talks. And there are YouTubes out there and there are programs that he runs. In fact, he's going very shortly to Africa, to a lot of countries where they have no money. And that's the only time I've ever seen them fundraise, actually, that I got an email around, because they're so short of money. Those people out there, you know, in the countries who have the knowledge already, can't afford to organize for people to be able to walk all those miles or come all those miles from the countryside to go to the program, who want to come to the program. And that's the first time I've ever heard Maharaji raise money, and that's for Africa. But all throughout his time as the master on this planet, he's never asked for one penny for the knowledge that he gives. It's completely and utterly free. And that's what it's about. It's more than him. He is the master giving it. He is not it. And I really wanted to make that clear to people. Doc Varge is saying that has changed now, Linda. There is a fee. Can you give me a little bit more on that, Doc Varge? Why you think there's a fee? Hopefully she'll write, because I know Doc Varge was very taken in with what I was talking about and she resonated with me talking about Maharaji. I just want to go back and see, because I really don't want to misguide anybody here, because I'm going back and there's nothing there. Because there's never been a fee for knowledge. I've looked back, Dr. Raj, far more than resonate. Yeah, okay, far more than resonate, okay. That has changed now, there is a fee. I'd love to know where you get that from, Dr. Raj. I'm not going to confirm that at all, because I know that he's never charged anything for knowledge. There just isn't a fee for knowledge. I mean, knowledge is showing you four ways of turning your own key inside your own slot, and they just wouldn't charge for it. But we'll talk about that another time. We won't talk about that, I doubt, because I think if you check this up, if you want to hear more about Maharaji and his mission, and more to the point, if you would like to learn about knowledge, I mean, I've practiced the techniques he gave me for 30 years. I've never gone on to anything else. I've never ever this is where the confusion comes in. I'm glad Dr. Varge has said what she's talking about. The keys are not the knowledge. The keys is an introductory satsang DVD. I've got it under my desk here. I actually ordered it a long time ago to have a look to see what they were putting out as an introductory. It has nothing. It is not the knowledge. You don't pay for knowledge. That is a DVD so that you can open yourself up to the possibilities of wanting to receive the knowledge. It's not the knowledge. It's very good. It's an introductory. It doesn't tell you what knowledge is. You're never told what knowledge is. You wait until the day of your initiation to find out. That's the way it was and always will be. You must then ask for key number 6. Yeah, but Doc Varge, I've been involved with knowledge for a lot of years. I do know that there is never a charge to be given knowledge. And when you get the keys, that is not the knowledge. Must then ask for key 6. Key number 6 is the knowledge. Okay, I'm going to have to check that up, but you can't get the knowledge from a DVD. So it is 5. It's actually 4 specific techniques which are to do with you and your body. And when this happens, somebody shows you the techniques in your own body. If this is so, that is clear. I know what I speak. We know that you can't get it from a DVD. This is getting rather confusing for everybody. I'd rather not go there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to actually look up next week for next week's show, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the process now of going for knowledge, because always it has been that you receive the knowledge from an initiator, and that we none of us speak of what it is. We would not tell other people what it is until they went on their own path, and then we wouldn't tell them. We would be able to talk about it with somebody as soon as they got the knowledge. We could then help them if they were having difficulty. But you would never speak the techniques of knowledge in all these years, because you could affect another person's path in surrendering to receive it. There is a surrender that needs to happen for people to take these techniques and use them. Many, I could tell you many stories of people that I introduced to this, because they would say to me, what is it that you do? What is it that you have? I remember, you know, being asked this so many times. What is it that you do in your life? And I would say to them, well, I do use techniques that I was given. I do use the knowledge techniques that I was given. And they would say, how can I find out about that? And then I'd maybe take them to a satsang session. It's years and years since I've been to a satsang session myself, because I just practice the techniques, which is what Maharaji really wants you to do. But when you're going towards knowledge, then you go to satsang to hear it. And you know, a lot of these people who took this knowledge, who actually were initiated, they actually didn't practice them, because they were looking for something where they didn't have to do anything. And I talked a little bit about last week about people following him around the world and never really sitting down and doing what he'd asked them to do. He'd said to them, go home, do the techniques, go inside yourself, feel who you are, feel the peace inside you. It's not out in the world. It's not following me around the planet. That's not where you're going to find the peace. And you certainly won't find it in a sustainable way by doing that. I mean, many people carried on doing that. And I spoke of what his energy's like. So you can see why people thought that was easier. I'll just sit and listen at the events that Maharaji does, and I'll hear him speak for an hour, and that'll give me a buzz for a week. And you can still do that by listening to his DVDs. People had stacks and stacks of his DVDs, and they used to sit and listen to them, right? And then I remember Maharaji putting out to all these local representatives, he told them to tell everybody to burn their DVDs, get rid of them. Take all the photographs of me down. I don't want photographs of me sold, he used to say. That was about in the, I got a feeling that might have been in the 80s he did that. And it all changed again. And we hung on, you know, there were people who hung on to our photographs. I still have a couple of photographs of Maharaji. And until fairly recently, they were up in my house. Because every time you walk past Maharaji's photograph, it wasn't that you didn't worship Maharaji and think that you know, he certainly gave you the answer, and he's somebody that you would be grateful to for the rest of your life. But he's not there to be worshipped. And but when you walk past a photograph of him, it reminds you. You know, in that moment, you're reminded of the bliss inside yourself if you're not in contact with it in that moment. And that's why we kept secretly, we would keep the odd photograph, which is really funny. I don't know how they do that now either, but I know he put a, he didn't want people to be sidetracked into him. He wanted them to go and practice knowledge with the techniques that he'd given them, not waste it. So there is a whole initiation process. You know, what happens is you, if you're interested, this is how it's always been. If you hear somebody speak, and this is, you know, occasionally it comes out of my mouth. I've never organized in my head the times that I would speak about Meraji, but there has been many times on the 2.5 years archives that I have spoken about Meraji, because he was a very important person in my life. And I haven't tried to convince people. It's just come out of my mouth because I don't plan the shows. I've had amazing magic from my knowledge of Meraji and from what he taught me, okay, through his initiators. And I could never forget that. So every now and again, it's going to come out of my mouth. And if you do want to know more about it, just Google Meraji and go to the formal website. They never advertise. They're never doing publicity stuff. But there are the odd YouTube videos out there. But they have a website, and he travels the world. He speaks to the United Nations. He speaks to lots of different groups like that about peace. That's all he's ever spoken about. And it's not the peace that you see as the difference between war. When war stops, there's peace. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that it must be inside of us, and we must be in contact with it. Every one of us on this planet has peace inside of us. It's who we are. It's the energy, the essence. It's our vibration, right? And that's how we get peace in the world, by everybody having peace, the contact with the peace inside themselves. So he is now, you know, whirling around the world. He has children who are well grown up now. Amazing stories about, which I'll maybe speak about another time, because I really want to get back onto the manuscript that we've been given about what's going on right now. But it gives you an insight on how my path opened up, because first there was Maharishi with the TM, which calmed down the mind, you know, gave me the initial peace inside myself. And then I was still thirsting and knew there was something else. And what I always say is Meraji opened my heart. Meraji touched my heart. So you're healing the mind, you're coming from the higher mind, and somebody like Meraji, a master like that, touches your heart, opens your heart, and gives you how to be in touch with that essence and that energy within inside of yourself. And it's giving you, you know, the chance to be present in that moment and be in touch with that. And it's very much to do with the present moment too. And after that, what happened to me was I was so much more securely on my path of knowing what I was here to do, and went on to run a healing center, be working one-to-one with people. That was just natural for me. It had always been kind of natural for me to help others, but it became so much more present in my life, and I had so much more confidence to be who I really was by using the techniques that he gave me. And that's what happens to everybody who has that knowledge. They become more of who they should be, that is naturally there inside of them. So my whole path of opening up and then suddenly being able to channel these higher beings, all of that came from my connection with the knowledge, with not just being given the knowledge, but actually practicing it. When the first, you know, when us four were in the Bluebell Woods, we were initiated into these techniques, we were given the instructions to meditate for an hour a day, 15 minutes on each technique in the morning, 2 hours a day, an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening. And I actually did that for around 2 years. I did it for that long. After that, you start to do it less time, but there may be times that you then go back to that. But you need to have that crystallizing of the connection that you have. And that was how it was taught them. I believe at different times after that, I have had people who've asked me to take them to an event and things, years after that. And when I've gone, I've heard that people are not willing to do an hour in the morning, an hour at night. So that I think they were telling them less then. Now, I've no idea the lengths of time, they're telling people now. What I do know is all the people that I've helped towards getting, using meditation in their lives, they open up quicker once they start meditating than what happened to us now. Because the energy is quicker, we're on a higher vibration right now. And when we were working with this in the beginning, which was 30 years ago, the energy was much heavier on the planet. There were not that many people breaking through to the higher resonance. So it was harder for those who started them. And Doc Varge is saying, they're saying 15-minute segments now. So that may be that they're still saying 15-minute segments. So you do an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening. Certainly I would say to anybody who has any vague, I mean, this is not something that you can be told to do, right? I could never have been told to do this. You have to feel the resonance. You have to feel the thirst. And then you go on your journey. And he's easy to find. Just find his official website and then go from there. And you should be able to get contact with somebody who will point you in the direction of where you can go and receive that knowledge. And it's such an amazing experience. It's such a wonderful time when you're opening up to the real truth. Excuse me. And I don't mean when you start using the techniques. I mean the journey to it. It was such a phenomenal journey, something that every step of that journey was a part of me opening up to who I really was, even before I got the techniques. When you get the techniques, you start practicing them. That's one part of the journey. The journey is really important. And this is why none of the people I know, have ever given the techniques to anybody, because it has to come through the right way. It has to be given at the right time. There were some people that I was journeying with at that time who were told that, no, they weren't ready. And they, some of them were given the techniques sometime later. So we weren't all ready at the same point, and we weren't all ready to respect the techniques when we were given them. And that's the whole reason why the techniques shouldn't be just slipped out and told to people, is you respect something when you thirst for it. You respect and honor something when you know that it's been truly given to you in its purity and freely as well, and it's sacred. And that's the whole reason, because people have already asked me, why can't we just have this? Doc Varge is saying there are countless hours of knowledge of him on YouTube. Yeah, that isn't the knowledge. I have to keep reiterating this because it gets very confusing. There are hours of Miraji on YouTube, and he is talking. He's such a lovely fella. And he just talks from his heart. What he's doing there is he's giving you satsang. And so look up what the satsang is, because it means he's coming from his heart and he's talking to you from that point. But he's not actually giving you the knowledge. So follow the leads to where they will put you in contact with that. I'm actually going to, unless there's any other questions about it, I'm actually going to go to the manuscript and talk about that and go from the point, because it's always so synchronized when we start reading what's going on in the part of the manuscript that's been set aside for us to read next. I've actually started a lot of you who know, who listen in regular, and we have a lot of people who don't sign into the chat room, who are live on the show each time because they just like listening to what, you know, I'm talking about on the show. And we have hundreds going into the thousands now coming up to listening to the archives. And that is amazing because it's taken us 2.5 years, you know, on doing the show every week. And there are so many people who are relating to the resonance now. And it's so special to be able to read the words and for other people to listen to the words of the higher beings who have given us the plan of the changes and the evolutionary jump that we're going through right now. When I was just looking to see, I think I've got the right place here where I finished off last week, because I promised everybody that I would read it from the beginning, the book. And we're about 6 or 7 weeks in now. And we're into the section of, I'll just tell you the heading of this section. And it's the continuation. I think it's the completion of the universal energy continuum. And it sounds so highfalutin, the words, doesn't it? And there's very few people who really comprehend what's going on. They just think there's all stuff going on with figures that they know in the public eye. And in fact, what there is going on is a complete change in frequency and all sorts of things happening outside of this planet. And the fact is that our planet, the Earth, is moving in the space out there, in the cosmic space, towards the energy and the wave of the universal energy continuum. And that is what is changing our energy on the planet. So if you look out of this planet and see what's going on there and feel the energies that are coming in from there, you're going to have a lot more comprehension of what's truly going on. And then you're going to be able to align that with the energy inside yourself. And yeah, okay, this is very appropriate. I'm reading from page 49, where I believe I left off last week. And try and listen to the sound of my voice and not the words, and that will give you a whole new dimension to this material, because it puts you in the now moment to receive rather than understand, because I don't think in a lot of ways we are ready to understand a lot of this yet, but we can resonate with it and receive it, because we receive it as the energetic beings that we are. Energy waves that are reaching your planet Earth are well and truly cleansing the levels of negativity that have been with you for many years. This cleansing heralds the beginning of the universal energy continuum, becoming the one God of your energy system. We must tell you that as time goes by, you will begin to understand so much more of how things began and how things will continue. There have been many, many theories of how the world began. There has been much doubt, fear, and misalignment of ideas. We cannot begin to offer you these explanations now, for it is not now that you will have any semblance of understanding. As time passes, then will come the new time, the time of no time, when all that you have misunderstood will become understood. Until no time is upon you, then you are caged in the understanding of the intellectuals who have become your so-called experts. When you are experiencing no time, then you will become as one of us. We do not have any need to understand within the barriers of our minds. Our minds are ever expansive. We do not have barriers. We only have conceptualization. This conceptualization is a form of no mind, only experientialization. With experientialization, the mind has no barriers. It is open, mindful, but also conscious. At the moment, the minds of the humans who abide upon planet Earth are earthbound and mindbound. When a mind is bound, it does not experience. It only thinks that it experiences. The difference is within the confines of the intellectual boundaries of the mind. When a person considers an experience, different areas of the mind are activated. When a person just experiences, then there are no boundaries within the mind. It is a chicken or egg situation. What comes first? Is it the egg or is it the chicken? When we are considering the avenues of the mind, we must first consider that we do not have a chicken, we do not have an egg. All we, in fact, have is an experience. As soon as the mind begins to conceptualize, then the experience is beginning to become an experience. As soon as the mind preconceives that it is having an experience, then the experience becomes a concept. When the concept then becomes an intellectual endeavor, the mind will produce many different barriers to the experience. Now, I knew that, because it happens every week, that there is an incredible synchronicity about everything that happens if we let go to that. If we let go to that space, that no time space, okay, and we're in the now moment, then it happens. And if that isn't just a brilliant explanation of knowledge, that really clarifies it. I think there is that knowledge is an experience. It's nothing to do with an intellectualizing of Miraji. It's absolutely nothing to do with that. And Miraji will tell you that himself, that he is just the messenger. And he's made it an incredible life for himself, being the messenger across the whole of the planet. For some, I'll just read that last line. If you are to be present in when the concept then becomes an intellectual endeavor, the mind will produce many different barriers to the experience. So what we're talking about there is we're talking about having an experience, and that's just what I've been talking about. I've been talking about my experience of knowledge and my experience of the journey to the knowledge. And all of you can have your experience to the journey to the knowledge, and then you can have your experience of that knowledge and when you use that knowledge. And it is incredible. If you are to be present in no time, the mind cannot and will not be able to produce an intellectual understanding. For some, this will be indeed a feat, for everything and anything has been the victim of trying to understand. As understanding became the main focus within the fields of the earth plane, then the obliteration of experience was completed. During this time that is upon you now, many will again learn how to experience and not endeavor to understand. As we have spoken previously, understanding will come, but only when you have surrendered your minds. The understanding of which we now speak is not the same understanding that you have experienced before. It will be what you know is what you are. There are some equations which are universal. The law of what is given out comes back is one of these equations, but there are many equations which will become obsolete. There are many universal laws which are not yet understood. There are many sides of each issue which have not yet been addressed. Every issue which has become a political issue can now be dealt with from the heart and not the head. If each politician was to begin using his heartfelt feelings and not his own intellectual pursuits, then the world would be turned around. During the next decade, each ideology that has been vented around the planet will come under attack. This attacking motion will begin to melt the black ice and give way to the energizing of ideas that are far from intellectual. These ideas will bring about the closing off of the old energy system and the renewing of the finer and more subtle areas of energy which reside within the universal energy continuum. Each energy particle that is used from the universal energy continuum will begin to activate and will begin the process of ascension of the planet Earth. And that's really, interesting, isn't it? Because there has been so much discussion about everything. And even when you go on the internet, everybody's discussing everything. People are arguing. People are agreeing, disagreeing. How many of them are having amazing experiences? This is the whole thing, you know? And yes, there are some, because there's some people who've delved inside themselves and are in contact with that and can then speak from that point and you know, deal with things from that point. But that's the most important thing right now, is people get out of their heads. You know, a lot of people are in their heads. And, you know, coming out of your head and into the experience of the now moment, I think has been the beginning for a lot of people. And that a lot of that information came, you know, to the world at large through Eckhart Tolle. And before that, there were many people like myself who were taught awareness exercises to be in the now moment, as well as receiving this knowledge of going deeper inside through people like Meraji. But now it really is a time of thinking, if I'm in my head, I'm not in the best place. If I'm in contact with who I really am, and I'm in touch with my heart, which is the most powerful organ in your body, then you're in a better place, and that's going to serve you well over the next period of time. It's an incredible experience, and I would recommend going inside in a more formal way to anybody. During this cycle, the energy continuum will become your only source of power. It will then be useless to attempt to draw upon the power from the old sources. This power was never the real source of power, but only illusory. When you are able to draw from the real power source, then you will see what a powerful universe you are a part of. During the oncoming years, many will be seen to be universal beings. A universal being is one who is not bound within the form and function of Homo sapien. A universal being will be someone who can traverse the multidimensional planes of the universe and come home again. We speak now of the home within the universal planes. This home does not have the chairs, tables, and assortment of regalia. It is the home of the soul. If you do not wish to go home, then you can be allowed to reside within the third dimensional aspects of the planet Earth. When the planet Earth begins her final birth pains, there will be many who are still aligned only to the third dimensional experience. It will be a time of alarm and panic. If you are caught in the crossfire of an enemy attack, then you will feel as if you are being attacked. It is not that you are the target, but that you are in the wrong place at the wrong time. If you do not wish to be in the line of attack, then you would need to choose a different place to be. We cannot lift you from this place. You must begin to awaken and choose to lift up your hearts and your hands and ask for our guidance. We cannot begin to tell you how sad it is that there are not more hands asking for our assistance. We do not jest. There will be a massive explosion when the earth begins her ascent into our realms. These realms of which we speak are very different to the ones that you now know. It is not easy for us to see that there will be many who do not choose to be with us. We are here present with you so that you have a choice. If you do not know that there is going to be a storm, then you do not prepare yourselves. Some will batten down the building, some will run outside in wild array, and others will pray. Is this not the way when you have given notice of a hurricane? If you batten down your buildings before a hurricane, then the hurricane will often lift the entire building and throw it aloft. If you are one of those who runs wildly around in a state of panic, then you do not have the wherewithal to be conscious of the dangers. For those who pray, there is hope, for they will become centered and be aware of the danger and also of the impending release when the hurricane has passed. It is through prayer that you will become centered. Now, isn't this amazing? I was talking about how synchronized it always is when I carry on this manuscript. It's like they knew that there would come a time when I would read it aloud, and it would be done in certain segments, because I never do it for a whole show. I only ever do it for the appropriate amount of time that's given after I've spoken about things that I wanted to mention. So none of this is planned, and yet now we're talking about, you know, hurricanes and how people batten down and how, you know, you can center yourself and be in the right place at the right time, even in the hurricane, when we've just had the biggest storm in, I think they said, 108 years that hit the east coast of the United States. And this is so, there is such a flow to the information that they give us. And even now, I mean, to me, it's amazing. I've had this information in this book for over 20 years, or just around 20 years, and yet we read it today after that that huge event. Very soon we will give the warnings of the hurricane. This hurricane will come when the Earth planet begins her ascent into the realms of the universal energy continuum. It is you that have called for this to occur. It is you that have a desire to be with your Maker. The responsibility for the ascension of planet Earth lies with all those who are incarnate upon these planes now. Before your descent into matter, the wholeness of the divine plan was known to you. It is only now that you have become embedded within these deathly planes that you are asking why there is so much unrest. This unrest is the difference between what you knew and what you now know. It is the knowingness that has changed. We call upon all of those present upon these earth planes to remember, remember, remember. Through remembrance, you will again contact your real selves. These selves do not fear these changes. They will welcome them. And this is where you see the difference between looking at it through your 3D eyes and looking at it through the real you that knows that this was going to happen on this planet and that we are heading for a complete change of our status quo, of where we reside in this universe. For some, there will be much panic. The panic will come because of their forgetting who they are. We cannot remind you any more than we are doing at present. There are many different phenomena present within the energy fields of the planet Earth. These phenomena are only signs to you that you are more than you think you are. Do not become oppressed by the different ideas that are banded around your press offices. These ideas are only there because the press officials do not wish to accept that you are not alone in this universe. They are afraid to even begin to see that this universe has its own universal energy flow. It is not and will not ever be controlled by man. We do not wish to give you an aggressive viewpoint, but we are always afraid that you will not wake up in time. Each time that our words are received upon the Earth planet, there is an opportunity for others to become awakened. It may only be one other, but we are keen to give the information for this reason. Every soul will have the opportunity to again greet its Maker, but only if the information that we give is given out to the world. There are many people who network this information around their so-called friends. Do you know who is a friend and who is not? Do not become selective. Become the networkers of the light by allowing everyone the opportunity of becoming themselves again. When you were small and the older children were sharing their experiences with one another and would say to you, "But you are too young," did you not feel oppressed? This information can be given to all ages. It does not matter at what time they incarnated upon this earth planet. The years that they have, in your years, does not have any bearing upon their blueprints. It is within the blueprint that the coding is set. This coding will become activated when they receive the information. It does not matter when they receive it. They could be babes in the arms of their parents. The liquid gold of which we spoke earlier can be assimilated by any soul that is incarnate upon this earth plane. It does not discriminate as to whether the child is old enough. The discrimination takes place at a molecular level. When liquid gold is offered, it will be absorbed by anyone who is willing to receive it. There will be a race against time, as the many are perpetually harassed by the few. For it will be the few that will begin the race against the destruction of planet Earth. When we speak of the few, we speak of those who are able to connect with the higher energies and begin the decline of the world as you know it today. It will be highly commendable of these few to begin to bring about the necessary changes for the world to become the world that she must become. There are no choices left for the planet Earth if she is to survive. The population of the world has no choice but to follow the pathway that the planet Earth will take as you reach the millennium. When we speak of the harassment of the many by the few, this must happen. If it does not, then there will be even fewer who survive. There are still many who are reclaimable. What you are experiencing within the realms of the planet Earth are the many harassing the few. These few are those who are entitled to proclaim their newfound knowledge. Over the next decade, these few will indeed become many more. Now, you've got to realize here that this was given 20 years ago. So some of it, I think, you'll see the time frames within this. And at different times, it kind of relates in a different way to now, back then. And it's kind of timeless in a lot of ways. But it's strange as you're reading it. At the moment, it is the few who are harassed, for the power hold is still maintained by the many. As the totality of systems break down, then you will see the tide indeed turn. For those who harass the few can only do so because they feel confident within their worlds of illusion. As the system breaks down, then they will no longer feel powerful. They will be very afraid. When your world is built upon the dimensions of physicality, then this is indeed very fragile. If your world is built upon the foundations of spirituality, then your foundations cannot fail you. Indeed, they will bolster you up and give you strength. Can you see that as the systems built within your physical world self-destruct, then the answers will only be found within the dimensions of spirituality? If you have built everything you believe in on the cost of products, what you own and who you are within the structure of status, then when these things dissolve, you are left with nothing. When you know that these things do not matter on any sort of level of true worth, then you will not be affected. It will be those who have lost their belongings who will seek strength in those who did not see the need to build their egos upon these things. The chaos that is springing up all over your planet is because the systems are even now very unstable. When the systems become unstable, then everyone who is connected to them becomes unstable. If you are to survive as a race of people, then you must begin to readjust your lives now. Do not wait until the real unrest begins. Make sure that you have your own sources of the essentials of life. When we speak of essentials, we speak of the real essentials. You will need a source of water. This water should be from a natural source. This may entail finding natural underground streams or indeed building your own structure which can catch the rain as it falls. It is not too hard to cleanse the rainwater. If you use filters such as the underground water systems use, you will need pebbles and stones which will cleanse the water of any debris and allow the water to cleanse herself. These stones and pebbles can be used like a filter machine. If the water runs very quickly through the stones and pebbles, then any debris will be siphoned off. It is very simple, but it will be simplicity that will serve you well in these traumatic times ahead of you. One of the other essentials will be the need to keep warm. We would suggest that you begin to assemble together clothing that will indeed insulate you from wind and cold. These garments will need to be very thin, but the use of many layers will protect you. It is better to be well layered than be clothed in very thick layers of fabric. Our suggestion will be to use very natural fibers, which will not affect your energy systems. These can be found amongst your fashion designers even now. Not that we are advocating that you follow fashion, but if you are unable to assemble these garments yourself, then you will be able to purchase them. The notion that many of the fabrics can be artificially simulated is not correct. You cannot simulate the molecular build of the fabric. It will only be an imitation. As with everything, the most important thing will be the energy. And that's really important, isn't it, that we look at our time whilst the world is still in a physical state, that we are resonating in every way with the right things that we need around us, and clothes are still important. And what they're talking about there, without saying the actual words, they may say they're saying the words, but they're not calling the fabrics the names. But what they'll be talking about is wool, silk, cotton, that are all absolutely natural. And so that those fibers are in balance with themselves and will also be in balance with you. So it's very, very important information. Gremlin's asking me here, does your channeling ever give information on, I think you're saying on reptiles, aren't you? You're saying to reptiles. Does your channeling ever give information to reptiles? I think you mean on reptiles. Does it mention reptiles? I think you're saying. And this must be, I think, was Gremlin saying that he went to see David Icke? Somebody was saying in the chat room. David Icke was at the Wembley Arena, packed out, I believe, and talked for about 8 or 9 hours. And, on reptiles, yeah. Do you know, I mean, I've channeled 2 books. They're fair-sized books. I'm trying to think. I think they spoke about the reptilian brain. I think they've spoken about that in the manuscripts. I don't remember that. I mean, I channeled this information for both books, but I can't remember everything that's in them because it was given to me. I didn't produce this information myself, so it's completely and utterly different from me doing it. You know, you remember what you write yourself, and I didn't write this, so I can't tell you exactly. But as we go on, and in fact, as I read this out loud over the weeks, we're going to find out. But I think they do mention the reptilian brain, and they might mention, but they don't, not in any dangerous fashion, you know, because they're the higher beings. They're what they know, that we are equal to them. See, this is the whole thing about when you're really in touch with the higher faction of our universal energy system through the beings that have evolved so much further than us in this particular lifetime that we've evolved, right? Because we are equal to them, and they will say that, but we are at the moment in a different form. But they don't put fear about other lower beings and other more service to self beings. They wouldn't be telling us to watch out. They have certainly said in the manuscript that there are various levels of beings in the universal energy system. They have also mentioned in the manuscripts that I have that there are there is disorder of a type in the between the different universal beings. It's not all total peace between the different levels of beings. Whether they go into, they certainly don't go into a heck of a lot if they mention reptiles at all. I really can't remember. But they do say that there are various levels. I hope that answers to some degree. But they're certainly not telling us to be afraid of that, because ultimately our souls have come down here for this time on this planet, but we are manifestors ourselves. We are creators in our own essence. So when we take back our spiritual mantle, we begin to know that. And therefore, as we join with the universal energy continuum, then anything on a lower level than fifth dimension is going to disappear in the other dimensions, if you know what I mean. If we raise up, our planet and those who raise up with her will be on the fifth dimension, then the other dimensions stay where they are. So there is no fear of reptilians as we go through this next evolutionary jump, because they certainly can't come through to fifth dimension. So there's nothing to even think about. Yes, just talked about the fabrics, which is really important. Another of the essentials would be that you're able to maintain your own energy system. If you adulterate this with the wrong environment, the wrong company, and the wrong things around you, then you are severely affecting your own system. It will be the most important thing that you're able to accept the changes and are able to survive during the times of strife upon your planet. The best place to be will be with your own species. This may indeed sound strange, but as the time passes by, then you will begin to understand that there will indeed be 2 species upon the planet Earth, those that are able to respond to the divine plan and those that are not. We cannot change this occurrence. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? So they're not talking about two species, and like us and the reptiles, they're actually talking about two species, the ones that can respond to the divine plan that we're now a part of, and the ones that can't. And that's as diverse in some ways as the reptilians and the human race, as far as I'm concerned. Because certainly, you know, talking to people that are aligned to this recently, we were talking about how crazy it's getting, where some people are really still stuck in how they their idea of what's happening, rather than really surrendering to what's truly happening and surrendering to the higher part of themselves. There's some weird stuff going on out there at the moment. And very, like I did a lot of the show last week on the energy coming into the planet and the buttons being pressed on people. I mean, it's happening all around, where people are overreacting to a lot of different stuff because they just can't respond in the way that is available to them. So they're reacting. And the only time you react is because you're in the shadow. You're still in the shadow part of you that was born through separation during your childhood, and then, you know, carrying on later in life. And a lot of people haven't healed that enough. And we've talked about that a lot, and it's still very relevant for some people. And this can be the part of you that feels a victim, the part of you that feels less than you are, but it can also be the part of you that feels you're more than you are, and the ego. There's all aspects within that, in the spectrum, completely from ego to victim, within the shadow. And there are many, many parts of that. I'm seeing all areas of that spectrum being, played out, with buttons being pressed. And they're getting the opportunity, when their buttons are pressed, to see themselves reacting. But you've got to be a bit awake to see that you are reacting and nobody's doing it to you. So that is all truly going on. And that's interesting because, as I said, the higher beings here are talking about the two species within our own race. Those who are going to wake up and those who are not waking up. And one lot are reacting, one lot are responding. So clearing up the debris in the last parts of your shadow is imperative right now, I would say. Okay. The best place to be will be with your own species, which they're saying is a very strange thing to say in some ways, but there are two species of the human happening. It is the splitting of the ways right now, and you can see it around you. And as time goes on, it's going to get even more relevant to comprehend that, and that there is a splitting of the ways, there is a splitting, and there's two species going on. Those who will raise up and those who won't. Those who may think they're raising up, and they're getting bigger and bigger in their egos. Those who are getting more and more victim, they're both the same. They're both on the same resonance. Both the different ends of the spectrum, that same resonance of shadow. So be aware. That's all we've got to do, is be aware within ourselves, watch and be the observer in ourselves to our own behavior, our own responses. And if we're reacting, to go inside and find out where that is. And to get on with this journey that we signed up with, and put it as smoothly and quickly as we can, moving forward, upward, and on to our evolution, to becoming back to what we are. This is not new. We are that essence. We are those multidimensional beings. In a way, there's no achievement here. We're journeying back, and we're remembering, we're recognizing. I'll just go back to that short paragraph. This may indeed sound strange, talking about the two species, but as the time passes by, then you will begin to understand. There will indeed be two species upon the planet Earth, those that are able to respond to the divine plan and those that are not. We cannot change this occurrence. In your Bible, you will see that many times it is spoken that there are the goats and the sheep. You must become the goats and climb up the mountainside to regain your spirituality. And they're saying, regain it. For some, there will be much fear. This fear will only come about because of their lack of spirituality. It will be spirituality that will serve you well. It will never go away. Everything else within the planes of the planet Earth is changeable. These changes have been ordained. They will not cease. When you build your world, it is almost built of Lego bricks. One fell swoop and the whole thing will come tumbling down. We do not speak of just the physical bricks, but the whole structure on which the society has been built. And we've seen that. I saw a picture of a building in Manhattan that's just got, you know, just completely collapsed. And we're seeing incredible things from the major storm off the east coast of the U.S. When a society follows the rules of the spiritual world, then there is no need for the structure to be re-erected. It is only because of the decadence and greed that we have called for this divine plan to be put into place. Man will return to his spiritual nature. During the coming years, there will be much discourse on how this can be achieved, but we are sorry to say that man alone cannot bring about these changes. If we had been able to come to you before this time, then we could have brought through the dawning of the New Age much sooner. But because of the decadent fractions within your society, our path has become blighted. It was blighted because of the negative energies that have been present within the entire structure of planet Earth. If the energies were lighter, then our job would have been much simpler. During the last decade, much of the energy has become at an explosive level. It is as if the energy needed to explode first before any of you were prepared to answer our calling. It is the nature of man not to change unless he really has to. When you are incarnate upon the earth planes, you become very heavy. This heaviness undermines the necessity to rise above the third dimensions. When you begin to reach towards the more spiritual planes, then your energy lightens. It is then that you begin to realize just how much you are missing. As each of you returns to your more spiritual natures, then you will not want to play your part in the third dimensional shows of power. It will become very alien to you to even indulge in the most minor games of power control. Very soon, the energy of the universal continuum will become the main influence upon your lives. For some, there will be a moment of grace which will turn their heads into the mainstream of energy release. When this occurs, there will indeed be incredible happenings upon the planes of the earth. But if you are in receipt of incredible amounts of universal energy, then you will be able to surpass any of your normal behavior patterns. This will mean that there will be healings occurring instantaneously. During this time, many will indeed be healed. It is only because of immoral behavior, intense emotions, and pent-up feelings that so many are sick upon the earth planes. This is a great time to look forward to, isn't it? When we, you know, the energy gets high enough for all of this to happen. When you are released from these things, you will feel well. The moment that occurs before a healing is a moment of release. This release is one of the most precious things that can occur. What is it that you are holding on to? It certainly was not something that was precious. When the earth releases a gem from the bowels of the earth, there has to be much clearance around the gem before it can be seen. This earth that is moved is not as precious as the gem that is revealed. Within every person is that gem. It may be a ruby, an emerald, or indeed a diamond. Around each gem is an energy field. This field will serve you well. When you uncover your personal gem, then you are in receipt of the energy of life. See, now, that really, you know, is total confirmation of having to, you know, get on with that shadow healing. And my work has been a lot about that and giving that information to people. And recently, I've certainly been making sure that we've had a couple of shows where we really go into detail of that and to show how people are reacting, you know, still from their shadows. And here, you know, this is what is removed. It's like they say, the earth that is removed around a gem, the earth is not important. It's important to see the earth and to start shoveling it out and to get to that glow that you have inside, that energy, that beautiful gem. And, you know, and in a lot of ways, it's very difficult for people to, like the beginning of the show, I was talking about the master, Meraji, And his light, his energy, what he imparts to you, how he gives you the knowledge, and then what you do with using that knowledge, very hard for people who are still in the ego or still in the victim to even go towards that sort of discipline within themselves. And so this is why it's so important for people to start removing the shadow around them, the dirt around them. It served you well. It served as a barrier. It served as a defense. You know, when you think of all the different forms of the shadow that we've talked about the comedian. That's a real shadow self. When you hear somebody and they keep slotting into the comedian, and you know they're doing it because they, at that moment they can't be who they truly are. I mean, there's true humor, which I love, when things happen spontaneously and, you know, things are just said and done, and it's wonderful to laugh and really belly laugh, and it's really healing. But when you see where people use humor in that way, and a lot of comedians will talk to you about that and tell you that, and you know, and they can link that with why they, you know, why they've become comedians. And when they heal, some of them stop being comedians. They can't actually do it anymore because it was part of their barrier so that they could hide who they really are. Then there's even heavier ones than that. You've got the bullies and the controllers, haven't you? You have to manipulate. That's another shadow. You've got the victims who are in the needy victim and blame game. That's another shadow. And they're all aspects. They're all, you know, resonating on the same vibration, though, because they're all shadow. Doesn't matter what form they take. But inside every one of those people is that gem. We will be attempting to offer you solutions to the many problems that are besetting planet Earth. These solutions do not align to any that you have used before. It is because of the size of the problems that you will need to use untried techniques. These techniques are not of your world. These techniques will be utilizing the forces of the universal energy continuum. The energy which is spurted out from this continuum does not come from a man-made source. It is, in essence, the divine source. When the universal energy continuum existed before time, the molecules were subatomic. They did not respond to the other energies within the solar system. It is only now that the energy will be present which will enable you to make use of these subatomic particles. When we are enhancing the energy of the solar system, the energy used is of a grade which can supersede any other energy. Because of this, any energy that is of a lesser degree of activation will be made extinct. This will affect the energies within the universal energy continuum in a very positive way. Much of the energy at present within the sphere of the planet Earth is made up of particles which have become adulterated. By enhancing the energy that you are receiving, we'll be activating molecules which are not normally activated. In this way, we can ensure that any negative buildup is dissolved. By dissolving negative build-up, we will be producing the effect of soul enlightenment. It will be as if the sons of God have arrived. We use this expression as it is the only one with which you have any experience. When one speaks of the Son of God, then there is an awe of admiration and wonderment. It is through this sort of experience that you will begin to realize that things are not well within the normality range of your planet Earth. When we refer to normality, we refer to what you deem normal. It is not normal for the atrocities that have been performed on the planet to be accepted, but we use your terminology. If we were to take you too far, too soon, we would lose you. After the horizons of normality have been broken, we will be able to come much more openly to the planet. It is as if there are still barriers stopping us approaching. Now, that, they're talking there so much on an energetic level. After the horizons of normality have been broken, we will be able to come much more openly to the planet. This is the higher beings. You don't have to, you know, I don't get involved with reptilian stuff, I have to say. And there may be such a race, but if you're going to align your resonance with what we've been taught from the higher beings, you're not going to have to worry. That's what I know. I know that truly inside of me. And I'm wondering, that's a lot of information there. We're now up to page 58. We're probably nearly halfway through this second book, because this is the second book in the series, and this is the one that's so appropriate for right now. And I think it's good to finish it there so that people cannot, you know, I don't want to overload people because there's a lot of information. And you can get a copy. A lot of people are now buying the physical copy of the book because they want to revisit the material. A lot of people tell me they're using it intuitively, where they open the book intuitively to give them guidance. And it shows them the parts they need to hear in that moment. Because we're not all ready to hear all of the information at the same time. And this is why I had it put into an actual physical form, because I've given it away free. And it's gone out across the world as an ebook for the last 2 years. It's only in the last few months that it's been available as a paperback. You can actually get this if you go to... if you go to the network, actually, www.universallyaware.ning.com, and that's the network that sisters with this program, and we have all the over 4,000 videos, loads of articles giving you all sorts of knowledge spanning all sorts of subjects that need to be delved into to know the truth of what's really going on in this moment on our planet and has gone on in the past. But if you go to that network, you'll see the advert for the book along down the right-hand side. There's a picture of me, and then there's two links. I think the link to the Amazon.com, Amazon.co.uk, depending where you live. You can get a copy of the book from there. You can get a copy from the book from Create Space as well, which is a branch of Amazon. That one actually helps me, because it brings it, if you buy it from Create Space, and the link to that is up on my Facebook page at the moment on linda.jocelyn.com, dot, and that's on Facebook, because it brings in a little more revenue, because we need that to keep the network going and pay for the radio show, because nothing that's on the network or the show is charged for, so helping out there would be good. Also, if people, just to help me pay for the expenses I have, the expenses come, as I say, from the network. We pay for that, and we pay for this radio show now for the 2 hours that we do and the 2 hours on Thursday. And you can click a few ads, and that brings me the payment back over a period of time. I mean, it takes about 4 months to come in. But if you click a few ads on the Universal Aware site, and there's quite interesting adverts on there with information and details of stuff, and also on the blog talk, it really helps me, because we can put a charge on the network, but I've never wanted to do that. I think it's really good, and that's the reason that I gave the book away free for 2 years, and there was copies went out, hundreds and hundreds of copies went out all around the world, and we never had a bad feedback from that book, because it's just giving you pure knowledge on, you know, what is truly happening, and that this, we are joining with the universal energy continuum. Whether people like it or not, it's going to happen. And we're seeing all the things that show us that that's happening now. And people are getting so involved with the effects rather than what the essence of the evolution is that we're going through. They're so involved with the effects of it and sidetracked into who they think's controlling it, rather than looking that there's a natural cleansing. How could I have received this information 20 years ago in both of these books about the cleansing, and then everybody saying that every weather, severe weather that happens and severe cleansing that goes on, like the storm, is caused by HAARP? It's just crazy, because a lot of what's going on, they have manipulated, I'm sure, somewhat with HAARP, but not everything that's going on is to do with HAARP. We are going through a natural cleansing. We had the information in my book alone, apart from all the other books that were channeled from the higher beings that give similar information over the years. Be aware that there is something truly happening, and it's not being controlled by human men on our planet. Sorry to get in late. It's 2 a.m. in Delhi. Linda, we're on track. Is Sandy the earthquake art of what was channeled? Earthquakes, art of what was channeled. Certainly in the channeled, in the first book, this is Pradeep Marawaha. I can't pronounce that. Pradeep. But what I'm in the first book, what I would say is all of the information about the earth changes was in there in great detail, about the hurricanes, about people being thrown upon the rocks in the devastation as hurricanes hit. And we've had that for the last 10 years, severe earthquakes and hurricanes. And it was all in there. I had that information 20 years ago. And it's still going on. And I don't think we've hit the crescendo yet. I think we're in the beginning of the crescendo, I would say, of that. And yes, all sorts of information on what was going to go on and how different parts of the landmass, some of the landmass will sink, but some of it's going to rise, like a lot of the islands, which were risen before and went down. Because we're in a 26,000-year cycle, so this has happened many times before. And that 26,000-year cycle is split up into 5,000-something cycles. You know, it's divided by four, so probably near a 6,000, into different four different cycles. But the major cycle is the 26,000-year where the major, major cleansing comes. And this has been proven by scientists, geologists, who've taken the ice samples going right down to all those years, going down hundreds of thousands of years. They've seen that it's in petitions of 12,000, 14,000, 15,000-year cycles, you know, splitting it up. That 26,000-year cycle is also split, but there's great cycles of 26,000 years where everything on Earth has changed. So everything was logged in these two books. The other book you can get, I don't have any copies of the other book. I've never sold that book. I that was published by Gateway Books, and again went round the world. The first book in 1995 it was published, and that is still available. God knows where they get the books from. I don't know, because they're publishing it and printing it. When I have the copyright of it, I don't get anything from it. But somebody's done it somewhere, because there's still books available on Amazon.com. I just think, well, so what. The information is at least going out there. It's called, the first book with all the earth changes in, was the first book given, and it was the Advent Calendar for the Salvation of the Planet Earth. And it has my name on it, Linda Jocelyn, published by Gateway Books. It's available on Amazon. You can get them very cheaply. There are people selling their second-hand copies, but I've also managed to get, when people have asked me to get them a copy, I've got them from Amazon and got them quite cheaply. But I don't know where they're coming from. I never printed it off. My publisher retired, and I don't get royalties on that at all. So, but the second book you can now get a copy of, and I would recommend the second book wholeheartedly, because it's giving us information about us and more of the subtleties. You know, as we go on in that book, you'll see a whole chapter about grace and about holy order. It's called Holy Order, but it's also more about grace and how that occurs and what that is. But Holy Order is where we're going. After the joining with the energy continuum and the cleansing of the energies around the planet to make her able to activate in a higher resonance and a higher frequency, then what happens is we go into Holy Order. And there is a description of that in the book. So if anybody wants the book, please do, you know, get yourself a copy, because it's something that's going to be, can sit with you, be in your rucksack if you have to take to the road. I don't know how everything's going to play out. None of us do. But what I do know is the holiest thing to have is your intuition intact and to be pretty clear. So clearing up those darker energies and the shadow self is absolutely important right now, so that your intuition's on a really high level and you're not being sabotaged by either the victim or the ego. Because this intuition is going to guide you to do whatever you need to do on the highest level. It will guide you to leave the house that you may have spent 40 years building up and putting all your money into. But your intuition will be the one that leads you out of the door when you need to leave the house. It won't be your mind that does it. It'll be your higher intuition, the higher mind. So very, very important. If anybody wants to contact me and wants to have one-to-one readings or anything like that, I still do some of that. I'm not involved every day with that now, but I'm still available on www.agentofchange.weebly, which is weebly.com. I have a show that's coming up this Thursday. As usual, we've got this new Thursday show where you can phone in for the last week. Jenny and I talked about our own shadow selves to get people opened up to look at their own. We talked about ours, and that's quite funny to listen to, some of the things we got up to. And we didn't get any callers that week, but we had a lot of people listening to that show live who didn't come in the chat room but were very keen to listen. And that's been the way with that second show. Even though it's a phone-in, we get less people in the chat room than we do on this one. It's very strange, but I think it's because we're getting more and more into the personal stuff on that one. And if you want to listen to that, that's at 8 o'clock this Thursday. And it's called We Are All the Way, the Truth, the Light. And it's an interactive, as I say, phone-in show. One we did a couple of weeks ago. We had four people on. And we had a lot of interaction going on that one. So if you've got things you want to discuss, doesn't have to be problems, but if you want to talk about some of these subjects, we're open to talk about anything that's around our evolutionary journey. You know, whether it be about the personal stuff to do with your personal life and clearing up your personal shadow, or whether it's to do with the greater whole of what's happening on the planet and why this evolutionary jump is happening. We can talk about any side of that. And that's going to be on Friday at 8 o'clock, not 7 o'clock. Tuesdays is 7 o'clock and Thursdays is 8 o'clock till 10. We have 2 hours there, and I'm joined with Jennifer Lynch, who's also worked with lots of people and does one-to-one. I'm going to play us out now. I'm getting a bit hoarse now, speaking for 2 hours, and I'm going to play us out with a lovely one of Miss Magical's songs. And this one is Grandchildren's Destiny. And I'm thanking everybody who's listening and who contacts me about the shows and thanks me about the information I'm giving out on here. It's lovely to get feedback from you. Hope you'll be with us again on Thursday and then again next Tuesday. Namaste.
We can fight for change with love. Linking up our chains with love. As we worship, so it shall be. Grandmothers, grandfathers, grandchildren's destiny. can fight for change with love. Linking up for change.